And so we're on the last leg here of camp, and I'll just echo for myself. I've been coming to camp here since 88. I think they started in 87. I was here the next year in 88, off and on over the, well, that's almost, what, 20 years now? So, almost. So, well, it is 20 years for camp. And it's interesting how you see camp go from big to little to where we were meeting up the hill with 15 on evening meetings to last night there was 85 of us in here. So, you know, what John was saying about the offering box and helping, by you just coming helps, you know, if just by showing up, adorning the doctrine as he told Titus. You know, so that's a... It's easier to speak to a full room rather than an empty room. I've done both, and I enjoy the full room. When we were... From the heart, brother. All right. So we just put that out for... If you heard the table down underneath the barracks down there, we had the Last Supper last night. There was... For real, yeah. There was 12 of us down there, so we were chit-chatting and spending the evening, and then Barry showed up and broke us all up, so we had to go in then. But, Pharisee. Anyway, I was told this morning that what happens at camp stays at camp, so we'll just leave it at that. Okay? All right, Romans chapter number 5 this morning, we're going to talk about accessing this grace wherein we stand. The whole theme of the week, this week has been finding rest in a world of unrest. And the morning messages that Pastor John and I have been doing has been dealing with that. The evening messages has been something a little different with the faith of Christ. But in this morning session here, we're going to look at this issue of accessing this grace wherein we stand. Romans 5 verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Dear Father, we thank you for the morning, and as we look this morning at this grace wherein we stand, that in times of trouble and in times of unrest, that we would come right back to the center point of where we do find our peace and our rest, and that's in your Son. And with that, as we study this morning, we do so with our hearts and our ears open to what the Word has to say for us, and we just rejoice in that, in the Word. And we'll just give you the praise and the glory in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. Notice verse number 2. This is the text here. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now that's an interesting verse. And it's an interesting verse stuck in a real wonderful chapter, a real wonderful section of Paul's epistles. By whom? By who? By whom also we have access? By whom? Well, look at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through who? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say what I said yesterday. I'll say it again. Everything that we have is centered in Christ. This access that we're going to be talking about into this grace wherein we stand, and we're going to talk about this grace, we're going to talk about access, and we're going to talk about grace. This access, the ability to go in and gain the doctrine, is through who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's pray and go have an early break. That was that easy. See, it's not difficult. This isn't brain surgery. This is, hold on to here and look over at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Hold on to Romans, because we're going to come right back to it. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse number 13. And I'll try and make you look at verses this morning, if I can remember to do that, rather than just quoting them to you and keep going. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse number 13. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." This access into this grace back here in Romans 5. We're talking about dealing and by whom. Look back at Romans 5. Look back into chapter number 4. And notice the whom here. In verse 1 of chapter 5, he says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice chapter 4. And notice what is happening here about the whom. The whom, okay? We have in chapter 1 and chapter 2 and the first part of chapter 3 how that you and I, no matter where we try to stand, we're dirty, rotten rascals. We're sinners. Whether you are a pagan and you don't care about the things of God, look over in chapter 1. Let's just do this. Chapter number 1 of Romans. Chapter number 1, notice verse number 18. And I'll try to go slow, and if I'm not going slow enough or fast enough for you, just raise your hand, and I can really speed it up or I can really slow it down. Okay? Fast. Okay. Romans 1:18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." He's going to spend now the next 2.5 chapters dealing with the issue of the ungodly man. And the who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Drop down, if you will, and notice in verse 22, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools." What did they ignore that produced them to be fools? The Word of God. They ignored the influence of God in the creation around them. They ignored the Word that was being taught to them at the time. They ignored it. And then Paul says, God, the Holy Spirit through Paul says, hey, they became fools. So much so that they took the glory of the uncorruptible God, verse 23, and they made Him into an image. And they made that image of the incorruptible God, and they corrupted it. And they made it a man and a bird and a four-footed beast, and a what? And a creeping thing. You know what you do with creepy things? You step on them, don't you? I did it last night in our little room down there. You know, little creepy things. Hey, well, you know why? Well, the kids have been in with some candy. Whoever was pitching candy at them. And they're all, the little ants are in, and it's like, okay, time to squish. But what did man do? They took the glory of God all the way down to a bug you can crush. Professing themselves, they became fools. So much so that God gives them up. Three times in the passage here in chapter 1, He gives them up. Look at verse 32. Notice the depth of sins, how low sin would go. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That's the depths of sin. That's the lowest of the lowest you can go. Not only do you have pleasure in sin, but then you have pleasure when others are participating with you in it. That's how low mankind got. That's how low mankind is today. Verse chapter 2, verse 1, "Thou therefore art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou artest that judgest, for when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest dost the same thing." And then he goes on and he deals with the guy who's morally right, keeps the law, does this, and you know what the end of the day is? God is not a respecter of persons. No matter how hard you try to keep the law, no matter how hard you try to do the right thing, you know what he says there? God is not a... Verse 11, chapter 2, verse 11, "For there is no respecter of persons with God." Where does he get the respect? Where does God's respect lie? In Christ, in His Son. Chapter 3, verse number 1. I'm sorry, chapter 2, verse 17. "Behold, thou art called a Jew." Now he's going to deal with the Jewish folks. Chapter 3, verse 1. "What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? What, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid." Look at verse 9. "What then, are we better than they?" Now, Paul's a Jew. Watch what he says here. "What advantage did the Jew have over the Gentile?" Not too much, except for one big thing. He had who? He had the Word of God. He had the oracles of God. He was able to go out and prove the will of God and do what is said there. But now watch Paul in verse 9. "What then? Are we the Jew, Israel, better than they, the Gentile, knowing no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. God is today, but now, God is not a respecter of persons. Chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Here you are. We're talking about your worst state right here. Unsaved. No hope. Just down in the dregs of being sinful man. And notice verse 19 and 20 here. You've got the law, and it produces the whole world guilty before God. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the deeds of the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24, being justified, how? Oh, now we're getting into it here, aren't we? Now here comes the answer to the problem that we had. We're sinners. I don't care what category you thought you were in or think you were in. God is not a respecter of persons. When He looks at humanity, what does He see? Sinners. We've concluded that all are under sin, being justified freely by His... Now notice, His what? His grace. That's what we're going to be talking about here. The issue here of having this access into His grace. And the issue of grace here, through the redemption that is in whom? Christ Jesus. Chapter 4. Where did that pen go? Sorry. Chapter 4. Verse number 1. What shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. He's going to ask a question here. Verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his what? His faith is counted unto him for what? Righteousness. All right, here you are. You're a sinner. You come to His grace. What do you have to do with the grace? Believe it. Alright? Now, when you believe it, right? Now, did you believe it on a work? Or on a faith? How does faith come? Hearing the what? Word of God. So what do you need to understand? If we're going to understand what this is, we have to understand we have the Word of God, don't we? And we can read it, we can study it, we can get in there, dig it out. Chapter 4, verse number 23. Because of your faith, because you believed, and by the way, the rest of chapter 4, we're jumping great stuff here, by the way, doctrinally speaking. Chapter 4, you see the dual fathership of Abraham. How he's the father of the uncircumcision and the father of the circumcision. And you read down through that and study it. Verse 23, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone, talking about Abraham, that it was imputed to him. Verse 24, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who... Jesus our Lord, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, because of the activity of God the Father and the activity of God the Spirit raising up the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only do we have peace with God, not only do we have this you know, back in chapter 1, verse 18, what was revealed against the unrighteousness? Wrath. Now we're talking about some peace. Not only do we have peace, and the peace comes in the form of the cross, now not only do we have this peace, but now we have this access, by whom? By Jesus Christ. Also we have access by what? Faith. Into what? His grace. Now, I'm going to jump ahead just a little bit and we'll come back to it. The issue of grace here is the issue of the body of doctrine. What we just did on your issue of your justification is a body of doctrine. That's what his grace is. Now, when we think about grace, we usually say what? God's riches at Christ's expense. And yes, that's one way of looking at it, but it's really more than that. It's an issue of what God is able to do for you because of Calvary. That's more encompassing than just your justification. That's your sanctification and your glorification. That goes way beyond just saying, you know what, great, I'm saved. It goes into how I'm living my life today, present time here on earth, and then what is to come out in the heavenly places. So this issue about accessing, that word accessing, by whom? By whom? The Lord Jesus Christ, right? All right, let's get rid of this guy. And we'll get rid of this guy. By whom? Jesus. We have access. There's my sneeze. Now, I did that this morning, too. So, woke up my table. They did. Their food got cold real quick. By whom? By Jesus. We have this access. Now, access is a good computer term, isn't it? Okay? I get an email from Tyler to come see his movie house on his movie day night or whatever he calls it. I'm in Phoenix. He sends me movie invites. Like, I'm going to jump on a plane and come over. But what do? I get in, I read the email. First I see it's from Tyler and I go, uh-oh, which this could be interesting. And I click the download button. Because I don't know what it is yet, you know, and I'm taking, you know, the security asks a question, do you know this person? And I'm like, reluctantly, yes. Yeah, okay. So the download comes in and it asks me where it wants to go. Where do you want me to put you? I used to just click it and let it go, wherever it went. Couldn't find it. You know, then I got smart and said, well, put it on the desktop, at least then I can see it, you know. Or put it over here, and so I put it on a desk. Why? So I can go back later and do what? Ask, get it. Get the information. Delete it. Delete it too. Okay. All right. But it's access. It's by whom we also have access. We're able to go in and get it. And get it. And enjoy it. And access is a real wonderful thing when you think about having access to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now I want to take you back to Moses. Go back to Exodus with me. Because Israel, back in time past, their access was real hard to get to God, wasn't it? For in order for them to go and access God, they had to go through some hoops. You and I, our access is where? By faith. Okay? It's in Jesus Christ. We have access by faith into the wonderful doctrine, wonderful grace doctrine. Okay? Israel, they got to jump through a few hoops to gain the access. And then they really don't have access like you and I do. Exodus, if you will, look at Moses here and notice Israel's access and what Israel is being. Now Moses is the birth of Israel is with the Exodus out of Egypt. That's what birthed Israel. Before that event, there was no Israel. It was Moses. It was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the families. And then they were born. Okay? But I want you to notice something here from the very beginning, how Israel had to go through to access God. And then what they did with him. Look back at Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3. You've got Moses. He's on the backside of the desert. And we'll try to do this quickly here. So we're going to kind of skip down through to the specific verse I'm after. You got him on the backside of the desert, and the Lord appears to him in the burning bush in verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, that's Moses, in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire and the bush was not consumed. And the Lord begins to speak with Moses. Verse 5, draw nigh hither and put off thy shoes from thy foot, for the place whereupon thou standest is holy ground. Verse 7, I have seen, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. And the Lord goes, you know, Moses, you're going to go down there, and you're going to stand before Pharaoh. And he says here in verse 13, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say to you, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me. And we don't have time to study out that I am, that title there, I am that I am, the Jehovah. He's here to deliver them. Okay? And he goes on, and if you follow, just kind of trickle down through the text, Moses goes into Pharaoh, and what is Pharaoh, what is he saying before Pharaoh? Hey, I am sent me. The big guy, he sent me. And then you got Aaron coming in, and Moses, you know, Moses was a crybaby. You know, every time God told him to do something, he's like, uh-uh, Lord, I can't do that. You know, no, not me. I need a mouthpiece. And Aaron is promoted as his prophet, and Aaron's put in a place of help. Come over with me to chapter 25. We'll just do this real quick here so you understand their access. As he goes across, you know what, make it chapter 19. He goes through the 10 plagues. Moses goes in. The Lord tells him, you go down to the Pharaoh, and you got the plagues come into play. At the end, the last plague, the death angel goes over. What Pharaoh says, okay, man, get your people out of here. So off they run. Then Pharaoh wakes up out of whatever he was in and sends them down, sends the armies to get him. And we have the crossing of the Red Sea, and Pharaoh is crushed. And Moses turns to the people and says, see your salvation. Look at it. Watch it. Because the Israelites operated by sight, didn't they? They had to see stuff to believe it. The signs and the miracles and so forth. So then he sees it. He comes on the other side in chapter 19, in verse number 4, he says, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, who's talking? Look at verse 3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus thou shalt say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord God commanded them. Now what has happened here? They come out, they get on the other side of the Red Sea. Where's the Lord on the other side of the Red Sea? Let's see how many of you know the story. Where's the Lord? He's in a... Do I know it? The cloud and the pillar and the fire at night and the cloud in the day, and he's guiding them, and there's those five tests in the wilderness. Then they finally get to Mount Sinai, don't they? Now where is the Lord? Well, what's verse 3 say? Where does Moses go to talk to the Lord? Where does Moses go to gain access to God? He's got to go up to the mountain, doesn't he? Does anybody else go with Moses? No, Moses goes by himself. And rather, Moses comes down and he has to do what in verse 7? He got to get everybody together and then repeat what the Lord had told him to say to the people, doesn't he? And over and over and over again, you see this. Israel's access was through who? Moses. Notice chapter 20. Notice chapter 20 and verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, where is Moses? Moses is up in the mountain, gets the Ten Commandments, and comes down and is ready to deliver them. But we have a few problems. You know, they don't quite get it. But Moses is up in the mountain here, getting the Ten Commandments. If you look over in chapter 19. Look at verse number 23. There it is. Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai,
For thou charges us, saying, set the bounds about the mountain and sanctify it. You see, what did God do? He wasn't going to let them come up to him, was he? He set a boundary around it, didn't he? He required Israel's access to go through Moses. Your access and I access, we just go talk to him. We have right in there all access. Why? Because of Christ? Because of who are in Christ? Notice again here. He goes up, he gives Moses the Ten Commandments. Chapter 21. He begins to lay out some law. Moses is still up on the mountain. Chapter 23 gives them the three times you're going to come down and have a feast for me in a year. Chapter 24, chapter 25, Moses is getting the information about the tabernacle. He's getting that rough blueprint. He's getting all the details. Now look at chapter 25. This is where I was headed. Okay? And look at chapter 25. In chapter 24, he begins to say, okay, we're going to have some worship of the people here, and this is how I want them to worship me. And he lays out the priesthood and the elders at the end of chapter 24. In chapter 25, he begins to lay out the materials. Verse 8, he says, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may, what?
Dwell
among them. Now God is going to leave the mountain where no one could get but Moses and come and dwell. Now, when he dwells with them in the sanctuary, in the temple, do they still have full access to him? No, they don't. There's some things going up in front of them. The Holy of Holies, the holy place, the priesthood is introduced in chapter 24 and what they're going to be doing. But notice verse 21 of chapter 25. The Ark of the Covenant is in place, and thou shalt put the mercy seat above and upon the ark. And in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with them, right? Where's he meeting with them? At the mercy seat, isn't he? The Ark of the Covenant. Now if you'll just think about the tabernacle, it's a square. And you go in, there's a laver, and there's a brazen altar. Okay, if you can't read that, don't worry about it. Then inside, there's a gateway in, and you've got the Holy of Holies, you've got the holy place. In the holy place, you've got the showbread, you've got the candlestick, stick, you've got an altar of incense, you go into the Holy of Holies, and you've got the Ark of the Covenant, and on the Ark of the Covenant is the mercy seat. What goes on the mercy seat? Anything? Any sacrifice? There's a blood, isn't there? He says, I'm going to come down and dwell right there where that shed blood of that proper sacrifice has been offered for sins. How many times did the high priest go in? Once a year. He went in tied with a rope? Just in case. So we can get him out. Okay? And a bell. Okay? Once a year, the Lord went and met with them where? In that Holy of Holies. Now, the rest of Israel's history, we'll look at it at another time. Come back to Romans 5 now. You see, Israel, their access to God Almighty was limited to a degree because they had to go through some hoops to get there. It started with Moses from the very first day. You know why it started with Moses? What did Israel say? We didn't look at it in Exodus when the Lord began to lay down some laws. What did they say? Whatever you say, Lord, we'll do it. Just sign on to that. They had the wrong attitude, didn't they? Rather, what should have they said? We can't do that. We need help. And we need your help. Rather, you have Aaron making the golden calf and all that idolatry, and they just went doot-doot-doot-doot right on down. Their access became limited. God, why? Really, because God was trying to teach them something. He's teaching them a doctrine. You need a redeemer. You need a deliverer. You need some help. And that's really the ultimate issue of the law. If you'll obey me, then we'll bless you. Why? Because they could never obey him perfectly, could they? They always needed the help. Their access was limited. But look at Romans 5:2 now. By whom, Jesus Christ, Also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we, what?
Stand.
We're in it. You're standing right in the middle of it. Right in the middle, that access, that way into the doctrine, there's no one standing in front of you saying, give me your sacrifice and I'll take it in. Give me your tithe and I'll take it in. Give me whatever. No, you have access. You're able to go and get the information and bring it back out. That's the access. Now, notice he says we have access by faith. There's a little hitch there, isn't it? Do you guys always have faith? No. Last night in our storytelling, there was not much faith going on there. A little confession, actually. Yeah, you have to ask about that. A little confessing going on. But by faith. Wherefore we have access by faith. That positive response to the Word of God. Does the Word of God tell us today, in the but now, that we need to have a priesthood? That we need to bring offerings of sacrifice? That we need to do what Moses told Israel to do? And I'm not talking just in the big stuff. I'm talking about all of it. The Word of God says no. All that has been what? Interrupted. It's been ceased. It's been stopped. And if you'll look up at the chart here, it was going along. What did they say to Jesus? We have who? Abraham as our fathers. What did they do with Paul in Acts 15, the Galatians 2 account? What? You gotta go follow Moses to be saved. Where did they go? They went all the way back, didn't they? But what's the Word of God say? Well, there was a secret. And it was made known and was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Look over at Galatians chapter number 1. Just look with me here, because this issue by faith into this grace. Galatians 1, verse 11 and 12. Galatians 1, 11. But I certify you, brethren. Galatians 1, 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. How was Paul taught? By Peter and the guys? No, by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3, 1 and down through 5, he says, man, I received it from God, I gave it to you guys, and then I wrote about it. So that you can have this by faith, have this positive response to the Word of God, say, okay, if I'm going to access my information, I'm going to access this grace. Look over to Ephesians 3, just so you see that. Ephesians 3, because that's what we're dealing with here. We're talking about the body of doctrine. We're talking about having a positive response toward the Word of God and accessing a body of doctrine that's designed to teach us, to edify us, to bring us up from being a sinner, saved by grace, SBG, being saved by grace, all the way up to what Paul calls the Philippians and says in 2 Timothy 3 about being a perfect man. And it's this grace, this information, this doctrine. Ephesians 3:1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of God. Oh, the grace of God. Now, is God gracious? Yeah, Noah found grace in the eyes of God, didn't he? So we're not talking about that attribute, are we? What are we talking about? A set of doctrine that's been titled, that's been given a label, a dispensation of the grace of God. God is now dispensing His grace to mankind. How that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery. Another title of the dispensation of the grace of God is the mystery. Which, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, here's the grace, here's the dispensation of the grace of God, that the Gentiles should be what? Fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by God. I'm sorry, in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was also made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Now notice, if the dispensation of the grace of God is what Paul says, hey, I got it by revelation, I'm giving it to you, and it's called the mystery, then was it ever known before?
No,
a mystery is a secret. Over there in Acts 1, or in Luke 1, Zacharias, his dad's sitting there, and he says, this guy, this kid coming, the one coming, was spoken about since the world began. It's something spoken about by the prophets since the world began. Is that the same thing as something kept secret?
No,
they're different, aren't they? So when we talk about accessing by faith this grace, what we're dealing with is accessing the doctrines of the dispensation of the grace of God. All of it. Not just saying, well, yeah, isn't it wonderful to know that you're saved? Isn't it wonderful to know that you're accepted? But blessed? Complete? Saved? Sealed? Seated? Isn't that wonderful? Where did you learn about that? In the dispensation of the grace of God. In the doctrine of the grace. Paul says, you've got access into this grace. What did we learn in the first four chapters of Romans? Justification. One word, right? This grace, the justification, that's wonderful. But look in Ephesians here, and look over at chapter 2 of Ephesians, and watch Paul say the same thing now about some more doctrine. Ephesians 2:18. Now in Ephesians 2, verse 18, he says, for through Him, Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto who? The Father. Now what are we learning in, what are we learning in Ephesians 2? The programs, right? The dispensational change. The first 10 verses, you find out your personal predicament. You're dead. You're dominated by the satanic controlled world. You're driven by the lust of your flesh. But God, verse 4, who is rich in His great mercy and great love, man, He saved you. Starting in verse number 11, what's it say in verse 11? Where? Time passed. Verse 13, but now. Verse 7, ages to come. Now we've got this crazy little dispensational thing going on here, don't we? And you know what Paul says? For by Him we have access by one Spirit unto who? The Father. Now we're beginning to learn something about the doctrine of grace pertaining to a plan and purpose that God the Father had before the foundation of the world. Look over at chapter 1 and look at verse number 9. Chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse number 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will. Whose will? God the Father. Look at verse 3. Just hold on to that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who? The God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. God the Father, now verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Him, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one, how many things?
All.
Where?
In Christ.
Okay? Now watch where these all things are, which are on, which are in heaven, and which are on earth, even in Him. What is the plan of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? What's their plan? One day out here, it's off the chart, it's not even on the chart, He's got a plan, a universal fixing of everything back underneath the headship and the authority of God the Son, as He sits and reigns over all of it, as the head of the body, as the king over Israel. You know, in Israel, when they're out in the new earth, you know who gets resurrected to sit on the throne, don't you? David does. The plan to bring the heavens and the earth back under the rightful headship and authority of Jesus Christ. And in Ephesians 2, you know what we learn? How He accomplishes that, doesn't He? He says, in time past, you guys were this way, but now I'm going to take you dirty, rotten dog, Gentiles, and I'm going to do this so that out there in the ages to come, I'll put on display my wisdom. You see, we have access into that, don't we? You just read about it. Do we understand all of it?
No.
Well, maybe a few of you might. But you can. That's the thing. Why? Because you have access. You're able to go in and you're able to access it. You're able to get into it and pull it out. Look over in chapter 3, back in chapter 3. Verse number 12. Chapter 3, and verse number 12. In whom, Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness. Do you know what it is to be bold? Daring. You can stand for something. When you're bold, do you go into a situation being bold, not knowing what's going on? No, you go in with what? You know something, don't you? You have some understanding. You have some fortitude. You've got some knowledge about what's going on, and you can with boldness go in there. Look over and hold on here and look at Ephesians 6. Just real quick. Notice Paul says in verse 20, Ephesians 6:20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Do you think Paul knew what to say? Do you think he was timid? No, he went in there, boom. Why? Because he knew what was going on. He understood it. Now back in chapter 3 and look at verse 12 again. He says, in whom we have boldness and access, we can go get the information. With what? With confidence. Why? How do we have confidence? By the faith of Him. That's how we have it. Do you have it because you're such a good guy? No, you have it because of who He is and because of who you are in Him. Being accepted and blessed and the ABCs there that we did yesterday and the seated and the sealed and the security because of who we are in Him. You know what we can do? We can access it. And we can go in and we can get the doctrines of grace. And we can put it in and we can apply it to life. And we can get going. Back in chapter... Chapter 5 of Romans. Verse number 2 again. You see, folks, this grace, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. This grace is the body of doctrine. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by what? Grace. You are saved. Now let me ask you something. How'd you get saved? By grace. What did you have to do to get saved? Have some faith. Just believe. Now, did you really do anything? Romans 4 says, no, you didn't. But how did you know that? Because of the doctrine. The Word. The doctrine. The doctrine says, look, all I'm requiring of you is really nothing. I just require you to believe me. Have some faith. Positive response. He says here, again in verse 2, by faith... into this grace, then he says, wherein we stand. Wherein we stand. Look over at 1 Corinthians 15. This issue of taking a stand. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 1 and 2. Whereby we stand. You begin to understand the doctrine. By the way, in chapter 3 of Ephesians, we didn't look at it, but about verse 17 and 18, he says that you're able to comprehend what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and what's going on. You can know this. Don't let anyone ever tell you you can't know everything that's going on with God Almighty. You can know it. Last night, the stuff about the faith of Christ, you know, you can know that. Actually, I'm going home and doing a little more studying. Going, wow, I never saw that one. I wrote them down. Why? Because you're never done learning, are you? And you can get it. Everything God wanted us to know, wants the world to know, has been revealed. It's been made known. All of it.
What do we have to do?
Study.
And you know what old Solomon said, don't you? Study and weary to the flesh. He did, didn't he? But if you study it, you're able to what? Comprehend it. You're able to get it. So don't let anyone ever say you can't know anything. You just got to get in there and put in the elbow grease and study it. Wherein we stand. Where are we standing? Romans 5:2. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Where are we standing? In Christ. In the doctrine. Not in us, but in the doctrine and in Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye... What are they standing in? The gospel. Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
No.
Gospel of Moses?
No.
Gospel, he says, moreover, what? Brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Now, what did Paul preach to them? He says, he goes, okay, there you go. It's explained to you in verse 3 and 4, okay? But his gospel, he says in Romans 2:16, that the secrets of men are going to be judged according to what? My gospel. You better have his gospel, don't you? You know, if you preach a Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John gospel, you're sending people to hell. I got in trouble for saying that at church one time, but that's just a cold, hard fact. Why? Because Paul says it's today in the age of grace, it's my gospel. Where are we standing? In the gospel. Where are we standing? In the doctrine. In the grace doctrine. Where do we stand when things come up? Have you ever had a fight with one another? A quarrel? What's Paul say in Colossians about a quarrel? What should you do? Forgive them. That's Christ. Do you ever understand? Do you ever wonder how when you go on your job, what kind of a worker you're supposed to be? What's Ephesians 6 tell you? Don't do it to please them. You do it to who? Please God. You know what the will of God for your life as a worker, as being a servant in the passage, but as a worker, is to go do the best job you can do when the boss isn't looking. Because when the boss is looking, you're doing a good job, aren't you? But when the boss isn't looking anymore, what are you doing? It's siesta time. Taking a break. Okay, been there, done that, and watched them do it too. Okay? If you're a child, your children, what should they be doing? Obeying their parents. If you're a dad, what should you be doing with your children? Bringing them up in the doctrines of grace and understanding. Practicing Galatians 4. Practicing understanding that, yeah, when they're little, you've got to rule them. But why are you ruling them? To teach them how to be a good citizen. But eventually in their little lives, somewhere along the time, way, you've got to start teaching them some grace. Because if all they ever know is the law, you know what that in Ephesians 6 there, you're talking about bringing them to anger and wrath. They don't get it. Husbands and wives. Ephesians 5. How should you be with one another? You got roles to play, don't you? Got things to do. Attitudes and outlooks on it. You see, are you standing in that stuff? You know, most of the times we like to fight about these doctrines over here, and we forget where it starts, don't we? At the home, in the home. You know, we look at the armor in Ephesians 6 and say, all right, let's put on some of that and go to fighting. And yet we forget about the very first place Paul went in teaching how we're living in relationship. He went right to the home, right into the marriage, right into the kids, right on the job, right where it counts. And you know what people say to you? Oh, the grace message isn't what? Relative. Doesn't. Oh, give me something practical, preacher. Isn't that practical?
Amen.
Paul says, we access by faith that grace, and we're to stand in it. And we're to stand in it as Colossians 2:10. Look at Colossians 2:10. We're to stand in the gospel. We're to be standing in who we are in Christ. We're to be standing in Colossians 2:10, and ye are complete in Him. Verse 9, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Who's the Him? Well, it's Christ.
And you're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also, in Him, you're complete. You want to find rest in an unrest world, you need to stand in the doctrine of grace, that you're able to go in and get it and access it. And when you go in and get it and access it, you need to believe it. Look back over at 1 Thessalonians 2. Just one more time. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 13 again. Now we've talked about a range of subjects here. But look at what now reread verse 13. 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. You just heard some word. You just read some word of God. You want the word to work in you? What's the rest of the verse say you have to do with it? Which effectually worketh in you that believe. Don't believe it because Rick said it, or my dad said it, or John said it. Believe it because you studied it, you saw it, and you say, you know what, that's what I need to do. You want to have rest? Now, next hour we'll be talking about the grace of God being sufficient. You know where you're going to have rest is standing in the doctrines of grace. It's not just to understand right division. You got to take the next step then and go now begin to live your life as who you are in Christ and the details of life in the doctrines of grace. You have access to it. You can go get it. You gain it by faith, by responding positively to the Word of God. And back in Romans 5:2, we didn't even get into it because of the time, there's some hope and there's some rejoicing going on. There's all of this because you have that access into the doctrine. You just have to say, you know what, I want it. I believe it, and then go get it. You want to find rest in an unrest world, folks? It's right here in the Word of God. You won't find it in Dr. Phil, or O, or Vanity Fair, or Cosmo, or People, or the local TV, or the local newspaper. You won't find it there. You'll only find it in the Word of God, rightly divided. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the morning, Lord. We thank You for Your Word. And as we go day by day in our lives, and as we're here at the last day, that we would just remember that we do have access into Your grace and into the doctrines that You have for us today. We'll just give You the praise and the glory in Your Son's name. Amen.